Place on the hill where the dinner was to be held. Jonathan knew that this was to be the biggest, greatest, grandest dinner the pilgrims ever had. Every one of the 55 pilgrims would be there. Besides, they'd invited their Indian friends to the dinner, and the big Indian chief, Massasoit, was coming with 90 of his copper-colored braves. From his hiding place against the rough wall of the log house, Jonathan peeked around the corner and said to himself,
I wonder if I can run down to the beach without anybody seeing me.
So saying, Jonathan quietly sneaked down behind the row of houses to the path which led to the beach. Then he ran down the path as fast as he could. He ran so hard, and the sunny October day was so warm that he was hot when he reached the sandy shore. He immediately hurried to the spot where he had hidden his 10 good clamshells. Yes, there they were, concealed between the rocks, cool and damp. Were they still all there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Still only 10 clamshells.
The tangy salt breeze soon cooled Jonathan, but he was still unhappy.
I've got 10 shells, but I need 2 more before the dinner. I just have to find 2 more.
But Jonathan did not see a single shell. He couldn't find even one unbroken shell. He wandered up to the dry sand and sat down on a rock to think where he could find more good shells. And a thought came to him.
Maybe there's some around the big point. Mother's told me not to go there, but I'm going. I have to have 2 more shells or I won't get my canoe.
He got up and was about to run down the beach to the big point when he heard his mother call.
Jonathan! Jonathan!
She was coming down the path from the village to the shore, and Jonathan knew from the sound of her voice that she was angry with him. It was too late. He couldn't go to the point. He was 2 shells short, and he wouldn't get the canoe. Jonathan was disappointed and felt like crying. He kicked at the sand as hard as he could. Suddenly, before the flying dry sand and dust had settled, a little old man appeared at the very spot where Jonathan had kicked. Jonathan froze in fright. He'd never seen anyone like him. This little old man was barely a foot high. He had a long gray beard and a wrinkled face, and he looked very sad. The little old stranger was dressed in a gray leather suit, and he wore a black cap made from the feathers of a crow. Jonathan was so frightened he couldn't say a word, and he didn't dare run. The little old man spoke to Jonathan in a most peculiar voice.
Do not be afraid of me, my lad. I am Welkin, the elf of joy. But I look old and sad when people are unhappy. When folks are happy and give great dinners of thanks, I'm happy too. Come, tell me why on a day like this you are so sad.
I'm sad because Wang To, the Indian boy, is bringing me a birch bark canoe today. I have to give him 12 good clamshells. I found only 10 shells. The dinner is ready, so I have to stop looking for more. Now Wang Tu won't give me the canoe.
Welkin the elf listened, and then answered in a very friendly, kind tone.
Your troubles are small compared with those of the redskin boys who live in the woods. You should be happy and give thanks for a great feast and life by the sea.
I hate big dinners, and I don't want to go to this one.
After the dinner, the Indians will hold arrow-shooting contests. You'd like to hear the swish of the flying arrows and the smack they make when they hit the trees, wouldn't you?
Yes, but...
And after that, Miles Standish will march the pilgrim soldiers around and around, and your ears will nearly burst with the shrill blares of the bugles and the booms of their guns. You'd like to see all that fun, wouldn't you?
Yes, I like to see that, but I don't want to go to the dinner.
But why? There will be so many good things to eat and so much of everything. Just think of the big, white, fluffy popcorn balls made from the corn the Indians have brought. They will be dipped in sweet maple syrup, and you like that, don't you?
Yes, I like popcorn balls and maple syrup, but the meal will last 2 or 3 hours. There'll be long talks by the elders, and I can't sit still. Then Mother switches me when we get home because she says children should be seen and not heard. Her switching hurts.
I know. Switchings can hurt, especially when you've done nothing but be a lively boy and got tired of grown-ups talk. But smile and go to the dinner. I promise you that you won't be sorry. I'll go with you to see that you have a good time.
You'll go with me?
Yes, I'll go with you. But no one will see me except you. I'm a special kind of elf, and only the person I'm with is able to see me. To everyone else, I'm invisible. So don't worry. Nobody will ask you questions about your strange, unseen friend.
At this, Jonathan brightened up and smiled. And suddenly, the appearance of the elf changed. Now he looked young and jolly and round, and he was wearing clothes made of all the happy colors, yellow, red, and orange. Even his cap had changed. It now had orange and blue feathers from the blue jay and the oriole. Jonathan stared in amazement until Welkin explained this sudden change in appearance.
I'm Welkin, elf of Thanksgiving, and I have two sets of shapes and looks. When people are sad, I am also sad and look old. But when people are happy, I'm young and gay.
Just then, Jonathan's mother reached the end of the path near the beach. She was scowling and she looked very angry. When she saw Jonathan standing by himself on the sand, she scolded him in a very sharp voice.
The dinner is all ready and the elders are about to begin. Come at once, Jonathan. It's a disgrace to be late.
Jonathan again thought of the long speeches there would be and how he'd have to sit so still and so quietly for such a long time. No, he didn't want to go. So he just stood still on the shore looking at the shells in his hands. His mother stepped onto the beach to get him. Just then, Welkin, whom the mother couldn't see, called to the mother in a voice that sounded like Jonathan's.
I'm coming, Mother, and I'm bringing good shells to cover the elders' drinks.
At these words, the mother softened and smiled pleasantly.
Bless you, my boy. I'm very proud of you.
She then turned and started up the path to the town. Jonathan stood still, but Welkin gave him a push, saying,
Come, let's get started.
I thought you were my friend. If you were my friend, why'd you say I was going to give my good shells to the elders?
To save you from a switching before dinner. Don't worry about your shells. I promise you, you'll have a good time at the dinner, and everything will turn out all right.
This promise, Jonathan cheered up and started up the path to the village. Welkin started up the path, too, but he did not walk in the path like Jonathan. Jonathan could see him jump and bounce from the top of one blade of the tall brown grass by the path to the top of another blade of grass 5 feet further up the path. All the time, Welkin was laughing and cheering. Sometimes he jumped high in the air and turned 2 or 3 somersaults before landing on the next blade of grass. But to Jonathan, the strangest thing of all was that the grass never moved or bent even after the elf's hardest jump. The pilgrim boy laughed at the antics of his gay little friend.
I can see you jump, and I can see you land, but I don't see the grass move, even when you hit it hard. Why is that?
Welkin stopped right in the middle of a graceful cartwheel 4 feet above the ground.
We elves are not people. We're spirits made of air. We don't weigh anything. Here, I'll show you.
And with that, he jumped.
Why? You jumped right on top of the shells of my hand.
Sure enough, he was as light as milkweed down. Jonathan couldn't feel anything, even though the elf stood there on top of the shells. The two friends started walking up along the rough dirt street between the square log houses. As they approached the little hill to the flat place where the people were gathered around the tables, they heard a stirring sound.
We'd better hurry. That drum means the elders are ready to pray. The dinner is going to start.
Jonathan ran quickly to the nearest table and slid into an empty place at the end of a rough, hard bench, just as Governor Bradford raised his hand in prayer. Jonathan quietly piled his shells on the ground under his bench. Meanwhile, Welkin had jumped up and was sitting on the corner of the table itself near Jonathan's elbow so he could see everything and be near enough to talk with Jonathan. After the pilgrim leader had thanked God for his food and his care, all the pilgrims and Indians began to load their wooden plates from the heaping bowls and huge platters of meats and fish and fruits and vegetables and puddings. To the pilgrim lad, the great bowls looked like mountains of food, and he wondered if the people could eat it all. The pilgrims and Indians had hardly started to eat when one of the elders rose and called for silence.
Before we begin this Thanksgiving dinner, I would like to take this opportunity to speak a word of praise for the men of our village who so magnificently constructed our sturdy log house.
See what I mean, Welkin? There's too much talking. If I do what I should, I'll stop eating. Then my food gets cold and it doesn't taste good.
We'll take care of that after he's finished. You go around and put your shells on the cups of the important men to keep their drinks warmer.
When the elder sat down, Jonathan didn't make any move to go. He didn't want to give away his 10 good shells. But Welkin gave him a push. The boy picked up his shells and trudged around, covering the mugs of 10 of the pilgrim and Indian leaders with his shells. To each man, he said,
"It'll keep your drinks from getting cold, sir."
While Jonathan was doing this, Welkin had been as busy as a bee talking to his furred and feathered friends in the branches of the nearby trees. So, when another pilgrim elder arose to speak and asked everybody to stop eating, an amazing thing happened. All the birds flew straight at him, chirping loudly and beating their wings wildly at him. The birds stayed with him so he couldn't talk. Then up spoke Silly Willy, who wasn't considered too bright.
"The birds know best. The food is getting cold and we should eat."
Why, Willy, what a thing to say.
Everyone was amazed at Silly Willy's freshness and disrespect. But before anyone had time to speak or to punish him, a very funny thing happened. Two gray squirrels jumped up on Jonathan's table and started dancing among the dishes of food, arm in arm. And standing upright on their hind legs, they bowed very low to each pilgrim woman sitting at the table.
Well, I must say.
The sight of the dancing squirrels was too much even for stern pilgrim faces, and one of the elders started to laugh. Even the preacher began to laugh. Then, before they could quiet down, Welkin the elf grabbed a feather from an Indian headdress and with it flicked squash seeds at the pilgrims. Since no one except Jonathan could see Welkin, they all looked about. But now, Welkin was playing marbles with big red cranberries. He shot them the length of the table, and when one elder opened his mouth wide in a hearty laugh, Welkin threw a cranberry right into the elder's mouth. The elder snapped his mouth shut, and his eyes almost popped out in surprise. By this time, everyone was in stitches. Jonathan was laughing so hard his sides began to hurt. Oh, Welkin had kept his promise. Jonathan was having a wonderful time. Even the unsmiling painted Indians were laughing so hard Jonathan could see their stomachs shake. But Welkin wasn't done yet. He had more tricks to play. When Captain Miles Standish reached for a bowl of hot gravy, Welkin blinded the captain by reflecting the rays of the bright sun on a well-polished pilgrim buckle across the table. And poor Miles Standish couldn't see what he was doing and stuck his hand into the hot gravy right up to his wrist.
Ouch!
All were laughing so heartily they couldn't eat. Welkin was enjoying the fun as much as the others. Jonathan could see the little elf in his brightly colored suit swelling larger and larger like a balloon with each burst of laughter. Finally, Welkin decided to give the folks a rest. Huffing and puffing from laughing so long and so hard, he jumped over and sat down on the table near Jonathan.
Isn't that wonderful, Jonathan?
Even the Indians are laughing.
I think I'll be a good little elf and let them stop laughing. Listen.
Even as Welkin was whispering in young Jonathan's ear, the laughter began to subside. The hubbub quieted down, and everyone started eating again. It was in this moment of quiet that the Indian youth Wang To left his place among the Indian guests. He came straight to where Jonathan sat and gave him a small birch bark canoe. The redskin boy then spoke loudly so all could hear.
"The chief of my tribe was pleased by your gift of the shell. He gives you this canoe to thank you for your kindness to him and his brothers."
The pilgrims applauded and the squirrels shook their paws. Even the cooked turkeys waved their wings and banged their drumsticks on the wooden platters. Little Jonathan blushed a deep red. The praise and attention made him feel like hiding under the table. Welcome the elf could see how embarrassed Jonathan felt, and he decided to draw the people's eyes away from the little pilgrim boy. Suddenly the fires began popping and crackling. All heads turned to see the cause of the sudden noise. They saw bright red flames dancing high in the fireplace and spelling out the four words, "Time for second helpings." Welcome, the unseen elf, turned to Jonathan and whispered,
"When everyone is happy, I'm happy. But now, it's almost time for me to leave you."
"Oh, please stay, Welcome, please."
"I must go to someone else who needs cheering up. I must put smiles on sad faces in other places."
With a snap of fingers and a mighty leap, Welkin landed on a bright ray of the brilliant sun.
"Goodbye, Welkin."
As he ran up the shining shaft of light into the blue sky, Welkin turned and called out in a joyous voice,
"Goodbye, Jonathan. Remember, always give thanks and be happy on Thanksgiving Day."
So each Thanksgiving Day, wherever folks are sad and see no reason to be thankful, Welkin the Elf puts joy in their hearts and a grateful song on their lips. And if you, like Jonathan, need to be shown the true spirit of Thanksgiving, then expect a visit from the invisible elf, for Welkin is the spirit of Thanksgiving.
And that's the story of Welkin. Welkin, an original story by Hamilton Pitt. John Dando was the narrator. Ed Anderson was Welkin. George Bowe produced and directed the show, and the script was adapted for radio by Leonard Patricelli. Bruce Kern was heard in there. I recognized Bruce's laughter, for one thing. And one of my sons, I think it was Philip, was in that. It was done 17 years ago, and I don't remember it too well, but I'm glad that we were able to bring that back after 17 years. We played that 17 years ago. That's the last time it was played on this program. I think the first time it was played on this program was in 1846. Not sure. I know this program's been going on a long time. It's 8 minutes before 8 o'clock now.